searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Thank God it's Friday! That's the fact, Jack!
Oh, yeah! It is Friday! Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you may be, and welcome into this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. With little old me, Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and yes, a touch of absurdity. It's good to have you along today. Thank you so much for joining the fun. I hope you've had a good weekend, that you're looking forward to the weekend, and that you remember, weekends are for unplugging. Please do. Please unplug. Don't carry the angst of the week, the anxiety of the week into the weekend. You need to decompress, unplug, spend some time with loved ones, friends, family, pets, whatever. Go out and work on your project car. Take the motorcycle out for a spin. Whatever you have to do this weekend to relieve the distractions. Just remember what life is really about. Get your focus back on real life over the next couple of days, and all of the rest of this silliness will come into sharper perspective for you. Because here in the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth, we can go out on the weekends and enjoy our lives because we have great lives here in the United States of America. Even the poorest of our poor are richer than most of the world. Life is good. So go out and enjoy it here and have a great time and put this all in the rearview mirror for a couple of days, okay? When we get through today, go take a breather. So how you doing? You doing all right today? Hopefully you're doing well and that you and yours are having a big old day today and that life is good. Today is, as we record this, is Friday the 11th of October 2019. It's my mom's birthday today. Happy birthday to mom. She turns 85. Yep. The big 85. And we were having lunch the other day and she said, it's amazing. The things that she has seen. She's lived through a world war. She saw man land on the moon. She's seen the first space orbit. She's seen so much stuff in that 85 years. And a lot of us can't appreciate how good it is now compared to how it was back when she was born. Back when she was a kid, life wasn't nearly as good. We didn't have as much luxury and privilege as we do today. So happy birthday to mom. Hope it's a good day. And I hope it's a good day for you as well. Now we're going to dive off into the insanity that is the news, and there is much to talk about today. Today's list of items to talk about was started off as, okay, well, I guess I'll copy and paste two or three things that got left out of yesterday and see where we go from there. And before long, I have by the end of yesterday, by the time I just put it all down and turned off the lights last night, there was plenty to talk about. And then more this morning after the rally in Minneapolis last night. And let's kick off with that. Of course, you know that President Trump held a rally in Minneapolis last night. Thousands upon thousands of people lined up inside the arena, and there were thousands outside the arena as well. Well, I would say thousands, but this article says hundreds. When you're looking at sources, the liberal press will say it was thousands of people. The progressive press will say, no, there were a few hundred there. Hundreds of protesters outside President Trump's rally in Minneapolis Thursday night set fire to Make America Great Again hats and other memorabilia in an effort to show their defiance to the current administration before police broke up the crowd. Isn't it interesting, if I may make an observation, isn't it interesting that when Democrat presidential candidates have a speaking engagement or a rally of some kind, there is never, ever a crowd of conservatives outside with vulgar posters and signs burning things and tearing up the property around them. That's just something to ponder today. Something to make you go, hmm. There were reports that multiple protesters were arrested. One report indicated that protesters threw urine. Yeah, this is the cream of the crop, the best of society. Cell phone video posted by Star Tribune reporter Chao Zhang showed Trump supporters walking through a crowd of protesters outside the Target Center in Minneapolis. The crowd was shouting, "Lock him up and shame on you." A reporter for the Washington Post posted a video on Twitter that appears to show a protester punching a Trump supporter in the back of the head as he left the rally. The crowd can be heard shouting, "Nazi scum, off our streets!" The video shows a Trump supporter being followed by protesters before someone calls out, "There's a Nazi over here!" prompting the attack. The apparent Trump supporter was also slapped and pushed before eventually running to safety. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reported that police deployed pepper spray. Police officers on horseback and bicycles formed a protective line in front of the arena, according to the Tribune. Officers with riot batons and shields also maneuvered through the crowd of protesters. The Post captured video of one Hispanic family who wore pro-Trump clothing as they departed from the rally, as one protester shouted, "He hates you!" The mother replied, "Mexicanos for Trump!" as she left the scene. By the way, there are a lot of Mexicanos, a lot of Hispanics, who appreciate our president. Trump arrived in Minneapolis in Minnesota as polls show America's support rising for impeachment. Well, the leftist polls. Democrats claim he used his office to pressure Ukraine into investigating the Bidens for his political gain. Trump insists that he was just making sure the country was doing its part to weed out corruption. Trump was joined by Vice President Mike Pence, who had a separate schedule of appearances in the state. Trump is trying to tip his way next year. Trump praised police officers during the rally. USA Today reported that Minneapolis police were not allowed to attend the rally in their uniforms. So they wore Cops for Trump t-shirts instead. Red Cops for Trump t-shirts is what they wore. So here we have a thumbnail sketch of what the left does when it is essentially throwing a tantrum because it's not getting its way. This is what the left does. Remember, I've said this many times, and it bears repeating now, hatred and violence always rise from the left. It always rises from progressivism. It always rises from the left. Intolerance lashes out when it can't have what it wants. On the right, people who are conservative tend to be calmer. There's an old saying that you are going to be calm when you know what you believe is right. When you have that confidence of your convictions, you're not as easily tipped over emotionally. And so the same kind of people who confronted an elderly couple in a crosswalk in Canada just recently and called them Nazis, the same kind of people were outside of this arena in Minneapolis. And I can't help but think that the people of Minneapolis and the people of Minnesota in general are embarrassed by this. Because this doesn't really represent Minnesotans. This doesn't represent the good people of Minneapolis. This represents the bizarre, kooky, clown car leftist fringe of the Democrat Party. The socialists. The ignorant people who want us to follow in the failed footsteps of other societies which have fallen under socialism. The crazed people who believe all of these other countries got it wrong because the wrong people with the wrong intentions were behind it. And then ignore the history that teaches us that those people had exactly the same intentions and said exactly the same things to start the revolution, which changed their nation to a socialist paradise. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And these people in Minneapolis protesting outside of this arena are doomed to repeat the failures of history if they get their way. Because the people that they hope to put in office, those people, when they get into those positions of power, will wield that power against the very same people who put them there. Because those who would rabble-rouse will rabble-rouse when they don't get what they want from their new socialist leaders. And guess what happens to rabble-rousers under socialist regimes? They're imprisoned or they disappear. The same goes for the press, which is always in the pocket of the socialists who are campaigning to take over. And when they do take over, the first time someone in the press writes a negative article about the current administration or those who are in power, they lash out and the press is no longer free. What these people want is their own destruction, but they can't be convinced of such. And like I said, I believe the real decent people of Minneapolis and Minnesota in general are probably embarrassed by what they saw last night. These people outside of this arena, this venue. And I would almost be willing to bet. I would almost be willing to bet a sizable amount of money that most of these people are not from Minneapolis or Minnesota. That they came to do this from elsewhere. Because that is what we have seen happen again and again and again. So that's what happened last night. I feel for the people of Minneapolis and the people of Minnesota. I know you're embarrassed. I mentioned yesterday something about a poll that's making the rounds, talking about the impeachment of President Donald Trump, and that it was starting to tip the scales in favor of impeachment. Well, over at WashingtonTimes.com, there's a little breakdown, and I want to pass that along to you in a couple minutes before the break here. A widely reported poll from Fox News puts national favor for an impeachment of President Donald Trump at 51%. But this same poll then asks participants to name their favorites among a list of people, to express either favorable or unfavorable opinion of each. Guess who wins in a field of 9? Trump. Their favorite in the list they were presented. So the takeaway message from this poll is that we love you, Trump, but you gotta go. That's odd. Schizophrenic, even. But here's a clue in the mindset of these polled individuals. Question number 3 says this. I'm going to read you the names of several individuals and groups. Please tell me. Oh, this was a telephone poll, by the way. So this is why this is phrased this way. I'm going to read you the names of several individuals and groups. Please tell me whether you have a generally favorable or unfavorable opinion of each one. If you've never heard of one, please just say so. Topping the list with a favorability rating of 49% was... No, it wasn't Trump. It was the Democratic Party. Trump was second at 43. The rest of the field went this way. Nancy Pelosi, 43. Hillary Clinton, 41. Mike Pence, 40. The Republican Party, 40. Rudy Giuliani, 31%. Adam Schiff, 27. Mitch McConnell, 26. And finally, William Barr at 24%. So among the field of 9, Trump led, and in the Democratic Party, add in the Democratic Party, and Trump is second. Either the poll's a bit politically slanted or, well, not or, it is what it is. The margin of error for a subgroup section sheds a bit more light. The poll was conducted by landline and cell phone interviews of 1,003 registered voters between October 6th and October 8th, with an overall margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. But the margin of error for blacks and Hispanics was plus or minus 9 percentage points. The margins of error for non-white men and non-white women were plus or minus 8.5%, 7.5%, respectively. And On the question, do you think President Trump should be impeached and removed from office or not? It was the black, Hispanic, and non-white subgroups who delivered the most decided yays. Fully 76% of blacks said yes, impeach, along with 64% of Hispanics and 70% of non-whites. Typical Democratic Party voting blocks. Typical Democratic Party supporters. There's more inconsistency. We'll take a look at that after the break. Not much farther to go. It is indeed inconsistent and schizophrenic. And this is why I had my doubts about it. Because, in truth, it was a telephone poll. It wasn't of likely voters. And there's definitely some slanting going on. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Oh, we were looking at this survey, this poll that I expressed serious doubts about yesterday. And this article by Cheryl Chumley over at the Washington Times. And we got to the point where it says fully 76% of black respondents said yes, they thought that the president should be impeached. 64% of Hispanics, 70% of non-whites. And those numbers, those numbers end up being from typical Democratic Party voting blocks. They're typical Democratic Party supporters. So, of course, those people would say they're in favor of impeachment. And if you have, if you work with the, if you have black friends, co-workers and the like, or Hispanics, then you know that generally speaking, there is anti-Trump sentiment in those groups. And the reason for that is that the black community is being lied to and told by the people who manipulate them, people like Al Sharpton and the like, and black people in the entertainment community, they're all being told that Trump is an evil racist. And yet there really is absolutely zero corroboration for that. None whatsoever. They base it all on observations taken out of context from a speech, which is what leftists do. They take things out of context and then portray that as being something of value. Well, the same goes for Hispanics for the same reason. So they have this opinion based on lies which are told again and again and again through their entertainment and information channels. And it really is a shame. If you sit down with someone who is reasonable, rational, and actually will think things through and can spell things out and show them, no, this is what he actually said. It's like the Charlottesville lie. The good people, fine people on both sides, that lie. When you actually sit down with someone and show them the transcript or actually show them the actual video of when those words were said, it's obvious that he was not talking about the radicals on both sides who were there for a fight. He was talking about people who just had sincere beliefs about the situation on both sides of the opinion. So, but the thing is that now the leftist press, the progressives, all portray that as him saying that those radicals on both sides, the Nazis and the white supremacists and the far right people that were there, or they were fine people. But in that same news conference, just mere seconds before he said the fine people line, he condemned those people. He condemned those extremists. But you never, ever, 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 ever see that portrayed when they're talking about it. Never. And this is what's happening with the black community and the Hispanic community. They're being told things out of context, lifted from the situation to make it look evil. If you can sit down with rational people and show them the truth, then they understand. But there's so much information being thrown at us that just isn't so. Back to this poll. In yet another show of inconsistency in the poll, only 38% of everybody who participated said the economy was getting better. just 38%. 37% said it was growing worse. Now, at the same time, in a separate question, 72% said they were either very or somewhat confident about their own personal finance future. Now, how does that work in an economy that's getting worse? How can the economy grow worse, but your personal financial future get better? Unless you are very heavily and wisely invested. How can that happen? Schizophrenia, all over the map, all over the board. Perhaps the public is truly sick of Trump and wants to see him impeached. But then again, maybe not. Overall, in terms of favor, Trump is far ahead of those who are actively working to impeach him. According to the numbers from this poll, from the actual poll, not the news reports about the poll, it looks like the public would actually rather see Pelosi and Schiff go away rather than Trump. And once again, they still hate Hillary. And that's all coming out in the poll. When you actually look at the contents of the polling results rather than just the headline that's being presented, we see that this poll was schizophrenic. It was all over the map, all over the board, and that it is indeed completely and totally untrustworthy. And that's what you have to know about that. Because the news media is pumping this number. 51% say they want him impeached. Yeah, but when you break it down, that's not really the truth of the matter. When you really break it down according to how the questions were asked and what the responses were from the groups, you begin to see that this was a Democrat slanted poll. It was a telephone poll, not the kind in the ground. Come on, you smart aleck. It was a poll a poll conducted via telephone. Now, can I ask you a simple question? Would you, as a reasonable adult, a rational adult who actually has a life and things to do and a family, would you participate in the telephone poll? I wouldn't. Just being honest. Somebody calls me up and wants to conduct a poll, I just tell them I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And if they won't listen to me, I just hang up on them. Don't have time for it. No. Especially if I ask a couple of questions and find out who they're with and realize this is somebody trying to gin up leftist data. Let's stretch it a little beyond that. Have you ever been polled about anything on the national scale? Have you ever been polled about a presidential election? I mean really actively polled, not one of these things that pops up in your social media. You see these a lot lately. The Democrats are paying for a lot of ads on social media right now. And they all end up doing the same thing. They give you a yes or no option. Sometimes, like, the one of them I saw was, do you still approve of Barack? Was Barack Obama the greatest president of America's ever seen? And the only option was yes. But the rest of them have a yes or no options. And their ads, if you click on, for example, I clicked on one last night. I clicked on the no button. Well, the whole ad is a button. It doesn't matter which you choose. It takes you to the same place. You don't end up casting a vote in a poll. You end up at a page that wants your name. It wants your email address and maybe some other information. And what they're doing actually is they're building an email list. If you go on to the poll, yeah, you'll probably see some polling questions there. But the main thing is they want an email list. They want people to send propaganda to. But they're polling people, rational people who have, they have gray cells they can rub together and have a spark of sanity. Rational people aren't going to participate in that kind of a poll. They're going to say, I'm not giving you my email. I don't want my inbox flooded with your garbage. They're not going to participate in that kind of a survey. They're just not. But they're trying to generate as much survey information, as much polling information as they can, and they're doing it in such a way so that they know it favors their particular perspective. as we have all been told multiple times, polling is not reflective of public opinion. Polling, the intention, the reason for polling is to shape public opinion. And that's what they're trying to do. So just keep that in mind. If somebody, if you get presented with a telephone poll, it's your choice to participate. But odds are, on things that really matter, you're probably not going to. I'm 62 years old. I've never been polled like this. In my entire life, never been polled. I doubt you have either. And I have a feeling that if you poll your friends, your family, your co-workers, your fellow church members, you'll find out very few, if any, of them have ever been polled. So, take that for what it's worth. Polling is, it's a load of bull squeeze. And let's move on. According to a report from the Washington Examiner, the CIA operative blowing the whistle on President Trump for calling out corruption by Joe Biden and his family used to work with Joe Biden while he was vice president. This is what we're hearing now. Lawyers for the whistleblower said he had worked only in the executive branch. The Washington Examiner has established that he is a career CIA analyst who was detailed to the National Security Council at the White House and has since left. On September 26th, the New York Times reported that he was a CIA officer. On October 4th, the newspaper added that he was detailed to the National Security Council at one point. Michael Atkinson, Intelligence Community's Inspector General, told members of Congress that the whistleblower had a professional tie to a 2020 Democratic candidate. He'd written earlier that while the whistleblower's complaint was credible, he'd shown some indicia of an arguable political bias. So apparently this guy worked with Biden in a professional capacity when he was vice president. Oh, sure. He's bound to be trustworthy, right? He's bound to be unbiased, right? Yeah. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Hopefully you are raring to go for the weekend. I know a lot of people are. High school football, college football. Time to unplug and decompress. Oh, yeah. The weekend is practically here. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Well, yesterday I had a kind of a decompression day. And you know what? This is just sort of a byproduct of being the surgical guinea pig for the past year. I'm not really a guinea pig. It's just the way everything happened for me as far as this knee surgery stuff going on. It was like being run over by a truck. I did so much the other day, I hit the wall. And yesterday, once I got through with the show and I had a couple of other things to do around the house, that was just it. So yesterday was pretty much spent unplugged, keeping an eye on what's happening in the news and an eye on the television and my backside in the recliner, just resting because I just pushed myself too hard on Wednesday. And that's not like me whining about things. It's just like, I'm still shaking my head. I can't believe that what I just considered to be normal, just the daily activity that I normally had, is now a challenge, but it's getting better. Anyway, that was the day yesterday. And I spent most of the day because watching something that I'm kind of getting caught up on, because generally speaking, if I'm going to veg in front of the television, it's car shows, people working on cars, people restoring cars, people doing resto mods, people building hot rods, things like that. That kind of stuff, just interesting to me. It's just hardcore guy stuff. And I think it's to the point now, because of this year with me spending so much time just doing exercises and recuperating and watching a lot of TV, that's been my year pretty much. Aside from doing this, I've gotten to the point where I've seen, I look at the guide on the TV screen and go, nope, seen it. Nope, seen it. Nope, seen it three times. Nope. Oh, saw that one four times. Nope. And so there's just nothing to watch. And a few weeks back, I stumbled across a marathon. You know how these channels do marathons where they just, it's the new season is coming up and they're playing every episode from the last season. I stumbled across a marathon of the TV show Bering Sea Gold. It's these people who actually go out in boats, ranging from little bitty boats to great big barges. They go out into the Bering Sea and they prospect for gold on the bottom of the ocean. And it's just, there's something about it that just keeps me glued to it. And they work hard and they produce some results. And the small operators, the little bitty ones, they're just two people working on a boat, one on the bottom, one in the boat, that kind of a thing. Those guys are, they're pulling up some gold, and the big ones are using big equipment to scoop big scoopfuls of material off the bottom of the under the water, and then processing it, and they're coming up with tons of dirt and some gold. And it's just interesting to see what they'll go through. And as a result of that, I thought, well, I keep seeing the ads for Gold Rush because their season is coming up. And there was a marathon of Gold Rush one day. And I sat there and I watched that marathon and thought, wow, these guys. And my wife, Jane, sat down with me and she watched a little bit of it. And she said, well, I don't get it. Why are these guys doing this? I mean, and the reason is that it's hard work. It's really, really, it's from the time you get up until the time you collapse at night. They're working, constantly working. They're digging. The conditions are, you're just, it's just crazy. It's not like they're going back to a hotel every night. They're sleeping in tents. They're living 40 miles away from the nearest little bitty town. They're working out in the middle of no place. If somebody falls and breaks a leg, it's hard. The conditions are just terrible. And she's, why are they doing this? And I said, well, for one thing, they're going to get incredibly wealthy. And she's still, not seeing it. And I told her, look, we've seen several of these shows where they weigh out what they make at the end of a day. You remember, sometimes it's not much, but sometimes the value of what they produce in a single workday is more than you and I make together in a year. Think about that. One day's worth of work, and that's what they're making. That's why they get up and do this. And they're doing it, 5 months out of the year. That's the season. They have 5 months from the time it thaws until the time it freezes because they're in Alaska. So they are not taking weekends off. There's no vacations. There's no downtime. There's no days off. It's get up, go to work, work until you drop. And if it looks like you're behind, you work double shifts. I just saw one the other day where they actually worked 24 hours because they're getting close to their deadline. The weather's going to shut them down. And they're cranking out. They're working 24 hours a day, digging up dirt, dumping it through a processing plant to sift out the gold. Because they know they only have so much time, and the potential is there to make a lot of money. And some of them are making a lot of money. There's one guy who's he's a young guy. He's in his 20s now. When he first started, he was 16. But he took a season and went to the Yukon and came back with $1 million worth of gold in 5 months. I think that's some motivation. But so that's my latest thing. I'm stuck on these guys gold prospecting. It's just craziness. It's just crazy. And I can't wait to get through with the podcast so I can watch the next episode. Anyway, back to the news. Really, and I'm not going to make a lot of this next story just because it's one of these things that we don't know much about except what has happened. And there are going to be details which come forward to clarify things. People on the left will make something major out of this. Some people on the right will say, well, this is it. But wise people, prudent people will say, I wonder how this is going to pan out. So let's pan out. It's a gold reference. It's a two Florida businessmen tied to President Donald Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and the Ukraine impeachment investigation were charged yesterday with federal campaign finance violations. The charges relate to a $325,000 donation to a group supporting Trump's reelection. Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, associates of Rudy Giuliani, were arrested Wednesday trying to board an international flight with one-way tickets at Dulles International Airport in Virginia. This is according to Jeffrey Berman, the U.S. attorney in Manhattan. They didn't disclose the destination. This is coming to us from Newsmax, and we can generally trust Newsmax. Parnas and Fruman were arrested on a four-count indictment that includes charges of conspiracy, making false statements to the Federal Election Commission, and falsification of records. The men had key roles in Giuliani's efforts to launch a Ukrainian corruption investigation against Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden and his son Hunter. The indictments mark the first criminal charges related to the Ukraine controversy. While they do not suggest wrongdoing by the president, they raise additional questions about how close or how those close to Trump and Giuliani sought to use their influence. Trump has dismissed the impeachment inquiry as baseless and politically motivated. As he was leaving the White House for a political rally in Minneapolis, he said he didn't know Parnas or Fruman and hadn't spoken with Giuliani about them. He said, "We have nothing to do with it." If you've seen the video on TV, he's also said, "Yeah, there might even be pictures of me with these guys. I take pictures with lots of people, everybody, you know." So, you know, he kind of looked around the crowd and he said, "I've taken pictures with you and you and you, you know." So he is saying that he really doesn't have a tie to this. These two guys have done something, and he's not associated with it. And apparently, this is just sort of a thumbnail of the whole situation. It appears that these two guys were running a scheme to make a lot of money. And they were going to funnel money. They funneled money through a fake company, and they made donations through this fake company, and they were looking for returns for their donations and the like. So these two scummy individuals who were associate of Rudy Giuliani. And when they say this, that is just a very loose term. We don't know how they were really associated, how closely they were associated, how well he knew them or they knew him. Or did he just hire these people on under somebody's recommendation to help in this investigation or what? We don't really know. And that's where kind of where things stand right now. We just know what happened. And we know who is involved, or some of the who are involved, but we don't know everything just yet. And there's going to be a great deal of talk about this, and the left is going to, they're going to have their day with this, they're going to have fun with it. But as I said at the beginning of talking about this, those who are wise will wait. And they will wait to find out more information to see what's really going on. Because in the past, we have seen that appearances are very rarely the reality of the situation. And the news media loves sensationalism. And this story has a lot of sensationalism potential. So just keep that in mind as this story plays out in the news. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, an hour of observation, insight, and observation, insight, and absurdity. And life can be absurd. This next story, pretty absurd. Please put on your seatbelt, tie yourself to something. Please make sure the children are secured, because we're venturing into the world of MSNBC and you just never know what's going to happen there, do you? Because it's just weirdness, actually.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Well, I have no faith in MSNBC, except my faith that they're getting everything wrong. Well, I mean, we are talking about Washington, D.C.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
How true. Appearing on MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell Reports yesterday, Washington Post deputy editorial page editor and columnist Ruth Marcus warned that President Trump's criticism of the anonymous whistleblower who sparked the impeachment inquiry could inspire some of Trump's, quote, deranged, end quote, Twitter followers to, quote, use violence if the unknown government official's identity was ever released. Andrea Mitchell fretted. Ruth Marcus, the president's attacks on the whistleblower, which have been refuted now by the whistleblower's attorney, but still could be, have a chilling effect on other whistleblowers and other witnesses. Marcus agreed, saying yes, and that may be in fact the point. It is scary to come forward with allegations like this. The Post journalist continued to hype how scary all the attention was for the still anonymous individual, saying, it's not just scary in terms of your career, but it is scary, as I understand it, in terms of your personal security and the risks to yourself and your family, and much concern on the part of the whistleblower and his lawyers about personal security. Marcus then warned that Trump fans on social media might try to harm the whistleblower if his or her identity became public, saying, and when the president of the United States attacks you, he has millions and millions, tens of millions of Twitter followers, some of whom we've seen in the past, and this is not the president's fault, but some of these Twitter followers are deranged and can try to use violence against you. That is a scary situation. That sentiment echoed a similar claim on MSNBC just days earlier, when a pundit suggested heavily armed Trump supporters may invade Washington, D.C. to protect their president from impeachment. On Tuesday, the broadcast networks rushed to justify the extreme measures being considered by House Democrats to conceal the whistleblower's identity. On Thursday, ABC's Good Morning America accused the president of launching a smear campaign against the whistleblower. Mitchell's assertion that the whistleblower's attorney had refuted reports that the whistleblower had a connection to one of Trump's 2020 Democratic rivals was not accurate. The attorney denied the connection, but didn't offer any actual evidence to refute the charge. In fact, as reported by the Washington Examiner's Byron York, the whistleblower having a political bias and professional relationship with one of the 2020 candidates was something revealed by Intelligence Community Inspector General Michael Atkinson during recent congressional testimony. And, if I might add, as we've learned in the last few hours, it looks like this person was involved with then-Vice President Joe Biden. Now, the reason this story is ridiculous is that when it comes to violence against people, we have a track record, and that track record points to the left. As we talked about in the very first story we discussed in this hour, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, protests erupted with pepper spray, people burning MAGA hats, vile, vulgar signs, people attacking Trump supporters. This behavior has gone on since Trump got in the presidential race for the 2016 election. He had rallies where violence erupted and the news media pointed to the violence and put the blame on Trump, when in truth it was actually Antifa and Antifa-like protesters who were there to disrupt, to shut down dissent with their worldview, which is fascism. Violence and hatred always rise from the left. So if anyone has anything to fear in Washington, D.C. at this particular time, it is the President of the United States. It is the people in his cabinet. It is the people who work in the White House and are loyal to the President. And it is people who are in our Congress, these representatives and senators, who are standing staunchly behind the President. And it is the average guy and girl in America who stands behind the president today. Because we have seen time and time and time again that if we have a Trump hat if we have any kind of indication on our clothing that we are conservative, that we are Trump supporters, then the chances are we're going to be confronted and possibly assaulted in some way. If you have a bumper sticker on your vehicle, there is a very good chance you will come back to that vehicle being trashed, the paint scratched, windows possibly broken, possibly torched. We've seen news stories about things like that. Because when it comes to deranged followers, nobody can beat the left. If you want to talk about derangement, there's nothing like Trump derangement syndrome. And it is in epidemic proportion on the Democratic side of our country right now. We're watching these people attack fellow citizens, attack each. Hey, they're attacking each other if they disagree about things. We've seen that happen in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry lately. Look at Ellen DeGeneres, who came forward and said about her sitting in the box at a football game with President George W. Bush. She said, yeah, I have friends who I disagree with. I'm still kind to them. They're still kind to me. We should be. And now she's under fire from other people for taking that stance. I will say she has publicly said that she would never have President Trump on her TV show. She has staunch disagreements with him and can't extend that grace to him. But she will to others. But Trump derangement syndrome is epidemic right now. And people are getting less and less rational and more deranged with each and every day. Which is why people like you and I are sometimes very cautious about what we say and who we say it to. Because even though we have the confidence of being right, we know the truth, we've looked at the facts, we see what's really going on. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet and let people be fools. Because eventually, things are just going to get weird if you speak up. Which is why in the past I've encouraged listeners to this podcast, don't fight with people on social media. Really, honestly, it's better just to let them be foolish. Because they just want to fight. Do you really just want to fight? I don't. And when I read in the comment sections below posts on social media, when I see what has been said, when I see the goings, the back and forth, the comments back and forth, every day it's more and more obvious that the people don't care what you have to tell them. That old joke, hey, don't confuse me with the fact my mind is made up, is never more true than it is in the comment sections below statements on social media and the comment sections below articles online. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. Or I have my own set of facts. Thank you very much. And I'll stick to those. And I think you know that's true as well. Because when it comes to what you want to believe, people on the left want to believe some pretty strange things and will accept some pretty strange things. So please don't argue with people on social media. In fact, it's healthy to unplug from time to time. This weekend would be a good time to do that. Hey, since you're going to unplug anyway, we talked about that towards the beginning of this hour, let's all unplug from social media. I can't if I'm going to prepare for Monday. But unplugging from social media is a healthy thing. You see it time and time again online where somebody has taken a month off and come back and they say, wow, that was great. So why not try it for a weekend and see how much better life gets? Okay? Do that, and we'll meet back here Monday for the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. God bless. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
We'll knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?